From the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is Ozarks at Large for Friday, June 20th, 2014. I'm Kyle Callums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. The KUAF Summer Jazz Series welcomes the jazz fusion group The Yellow Jackets this Saturday at the Eureka Springs City Auditorium as part of the 16th annual series. The Grammy Award-winning Yellow Jackets will perform their high-energy mix of jazz, funk, and blues. The Summer Jazz Series is presented by the Northwest Arkansas Jazz Society. Tickets available online at theaud.org.
Support for KUAF comes from the Shiloh Museum of Ozark History, offering exhibits and programs about life and history in the Arkansas Ozarks. Located in downtown Springdale, Shiloh is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. Admission is free, 750-8165. Or shilohmuseum.org for more information.
Ahead on Ozarks, a summer tradition returns tonight with the opening of the 64th season of the Opera in the Ozarks.
And there are modifications with Arkansas's Child Maltreatment Registry.
But first, Governor Mike Beebe won't call a special session on fixing the state's public school employee insurance program unless a consensus is achieved on solutions to the program's deficit beforehand. Speaking yesterday with Roby Brock of Talk Business and Politics, Governor Beebe said he has heard there is still disagreement among some members of the General Assembly on how to best solve the teacher insurance crisis.
Now, I know the people have worked very hard. Senator Hendren and Representative Copenhaver have both indicated confidence, and certainly they're close to it. So I'm going to defer to that information that they think we're going to get there. But I temper that with, I've gotten feedback from other members, particularly the Senate, that say they're having a difficult time reaching that consensus. So I don't know that you can say as we speak here today that it's a done deal. I think in the next few days we'll know for sure.
Governor Beebe said that the disagreements over how to fix problems with the school employee insurance program center around the proposed solutions themselves.
I think there's some opposition to taking part-timers off. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some opposition to redirecting some of that FICA saving money that theoretically is going to be generated to go away from the public schools generally and into insurance payments. So those are the two areas that I've gotten feedback on. And I think it's even been reported.
Sure.
And I think some of the constituencies like the school administrators and some of the superintendents, the Administrators Association and some individual superintendents have expressed some opposition to those aspects. To the extent that they're influencing any of those members of the General Assembly, that could be what we're seeing right now.
Another item that the governor said he would consider is addressing the backlog of state inmates, which is crowding local county jails across the state. Governor Beebe proposed transferring as much as $6.3 million from the State Central Services Fund to address the problem.
Gubernatorial candidates Mike Ross and Asa Hutchinson both say they want to increase the state's minimum wage, but Hutchinson says he doesn't have any specific dollar amount in mind. Speaking after the 80th convention of the Arkansas Municipal League, Hutchinson, the GOP nominee, told reporters he'd rather voters not decide on a ballot proposal in November that would increase the state's minimum wage to $8.50 an hour, but he does want the legislature to act on the matter next year.
I would prefer that we not have to force initiated acts by the people to raise the minimum wage, but that be done through the legislative process. Why do I prefer that? Because they can do a better, that's a responsibility, first of all. And secondly, if you pass an initiated act, it takes a two-thirds vote of the legislature to raise it again or to change it down the road.
Hutchinson says he might be able to be more specific on what he thinks is a good minimum wage before the next legislative session, but declined to answer repeated questions from reporters yesterday about what a reasonable minimum wage might be. Mike Ross says it is appropriate for voters to decide, especially since the legislature has not made headway on the issue since 2006.
I support raising the minimum wage. Asa Hutchinson does not trust the voters with that decision. He thinks it's something that a bunch of politicians in Little Rock should decide instead. Well, guess what? They've had many years to decide, and they haven't.
Ross says his opponent is being vague on a specific minimum wage because Ross says Hutchinson is beholden to large corporations.
As the summer arrives, Fayetteville Animal Services is reminding residents that leaving dogs in cars this time of year can be dangerous to their health. Anthony Rankin is the Animal Services Program Manager at the Fayetteville Animal Shelter. He says Animal Services personnel treat reports of dogs left in cars as serious matters.
Of course, we're not police or fire departments, so we have to obey the traffic laws, but we try to get to the location just as quickly as we possibly can. I mean, we consider it a highest priority call. Once we arrive, we evaluate the animal to see if it's showing any signs of stress. And our officers are trained by our staff veterinarian to know what to look for. And then we begin by documenting evidence, essentially, and what we consider to be a crime. We'll begin by taking the temperature of the inside of the vehicle. We use digital thermometers to assist us in that. And again, continually evaluating the animal's condition to try to make a determination what actions need to be taken next.
Rankin says if an animal shows symptoms of heat exhaustion or if the interior temperature of a car reaches 110 degrees, then animal services personnel call police to unlock the car and treat the dog. He says it doesn't have to be that hot outside before closed cars can become a danger for dogs.
Generally speaking, we'll respond to these kinds of calls, and we consider it dangerous if it's above 75 degrees and sunny. I mean, there are a lot of variables with regards to the weather. You know, it can be 75 degrees in a cloudy day and not necessarily be over 100 degrees inside of a car. But all it takes is for the sun to come out for 5 minutes, and the temperature inside that car on a 75-degree day can reach, 110 degrees fairly quickly.
From June through the end of September, Fayetteville Animal Services gets an average of 2 to 3 reports per week of dogs being left in hot cars.
The state unemployment rate dropped significantly last month. According to preliminary data from the Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics, the unemployment rate dropped to 6.4% in May, 0.2 points lower than it was in April, and 1.1% lower than the jobless rate of May 2013. While the number of unemployed people dropped year over year, the state's overall labor force also declined by nearly 11,000 people year over year.
A bit of Fort Smith cultural history will be featured at 8 o'clock this evening. The Travel Channel's Monumental Mysteries series will tell the story behind Bass Reeves, the deputy U.S. Marshal from the 1800s who was hired by Judge Isaac C. Parker as one of the first black federal lawmen west of the Mississippi River. Reeves is also immortalized in a statue located in downtown Fort Smith that was created by artist Harold Holden.
It's now a 4-game winning streak for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. After a 4-2 win over Tulsa last night in Springdale, Nats host the Drillers again tonight at 7:05.
Mostly cloudy tonight with lows from 69 in Northwest Arkansas to 72 in the Arkansas River Valley. Expect partly sunny skies tomorrow with a slight chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms and highs from 86 to 90. Tomorrow night, expect partly cloudy conditions with lows around 70.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. Michael is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers politics, business, culture, and more for the entire listening area. And Michael, we have an interesting list of topics to talk about, all kind of connected to business, but all of them incredibly different from the other.
Yes, well, I mean, and that's kind of, I guess, to brag a little bit, that's what we try to provide on the City Wire, so I'm glad we're able to succeed this week.
Let's start with beer. Oklahoma City has a downtown called Bricktown, and a piece of that, in a way, is going to be in Fort Smith eventually.
Right. The Varsity Grill, which was one of the first, restaurants, out-of-town restaurants, I should say, to move to Fort Smith and renovate and locate in a historic building. This was all after the 1996 tornado that devastated parts of downtown Fort Smith. That is being sold to Oklahoma City-based Bricktown Brewery. They plan to invest up to about $750,000 in renovating, kind of changing the entryway to the structure, building a patio, those kind of things. And they'll also employ more people. They expect to increase employment, but I think they employ about 30. The restaurant employs about 30 now. And the new owners say because of different things they'll provide. They'll be up to 70. So more good news for downtown Fort Smith. Recently learned that Smith Chevrolet is going to move some corporate offices to the Old Town Club in the downtown area. Steve Clark with ProPack Logistics is still in the process of renovating the old Otasco building to move, I think, about 40 jobs downtown. So good news. Plus, you get a brewery with all of that.
Well, and also new on the development list of things in and around Fort Smith, new corporate headquarters at Chaffee Crossing announced by ArcBest.
Right. Our purpose with that story, Arkansas Best announced that corporate headquarters sometime back. And so, when this property was turned over to the military in the late 90s, people were wondering, what's going to become of it, that type of thing. And, we're getting to the point, there have been several large developments out there. A graphic packaging plant, Umarex, Mars Pet Care food plant, a Mitsubishi built out there, but that didn't open, unfortunately. You have a stretch of I-49 that's almost completed through there. I think they're going to have a groundbreaker opening of that next week. The authority is really down to about 3,000 acres left out of the about 7,000 I think they had. So they're less than half. And Ivy Owen, the director of the Fort Chaffee Redevelopment Authority, said, from here on out, it's going to be probably be smaller projects. And he's also predicting that in the next, 10 to 12 years, if the trends continue, you'll see the Fort Chaffee Redevelopment Authority essentially phase itself out, which was always the plan. It was an authority created to bring the property back into use, and once that happened, it would just phase out. So it's an interesting point to catch up with the history of Chaffee Crossing.
Also new and coming to Fort Smith, the city was home to Arkansas's first compressed natural gas fueling station. We talked about that a couple of years ago. Now, Falcon CNG is planning to come to Fort Smith, and they're a conversion business.
Yes, Barry Roden with Falcon CNG. Right now, it's just a one-man shop. He is really, talk about being on the leading edge of an industry, he certainly is, and there are just a few of these shops around the country, in fact. But, he is an independent converter, and so you can bring any vehicle in that has a CNG kit built for it, and he will convert it. Now, that doesn't mean you still run on gas, but you have about a 12 to 15-gallon CNG tank also installed with computer technology that will shift back and forth. So if you're just driving around Fort Smith, you can refill, or if you're driving around Little Rock or in Oklahoma. I don't think there are any CNG facilities yet in Northwest Arkansas. I could be wrong, but as long as you're driving around in an area that has a CNG fueling station, you're good to go. But let's say you're heading up where they don't, well, you can still switch back to gasoline. But right now, if you're, I think the gasoline gallon equivalent for CNG is just a little over a dollar. So would you rather be paying $3.35 for gas or a dollar for gas? That's what it comes down to. And the conversions are about $6,500. So if you do much driving, it's not going to take, it won't take much time to pay that off.
Okay, that's a one-man shop. The Bricktown Brewery is coming in, but that's kind of replacing Varsity Grill. You've got the Chaffee Crossing corporate headquarters. So we're not talking like massive job growth here, but this is all put together somewhat good news for Fort Smith, right?
Right, it is, and you make a good point on jobs. Fort Smith is down between 12,000 and 14,000 in terms of number of employed if you go back and look at where we were in 2006 through 2008. So there's a lot of catching up to do, but you look at what Arkansas Best may deliver, you look at this new college, this osteopathic college that's will soon start construction. Just some other announcements that have been made. I think there are a few more in the works. I think what we're seeing, or what the business community is seeing in Fort Smith, is that the bleeding has stopped. It's bottomed out and it's starting to trickle upwards, if you can trickle upwards. But you know, it's starting a slow trend back. And so, I think that's what people in the Fort Smith area need. They need to know that, you know, the bad news has stopped and things are starting to pick back up again. And so far, so good on that front.
All right. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, and so much more for the entire listening area. Michael, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Kyle.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night from 10 till midnight. This Friday on the show, I will pay tribute to the late, great Horace Silver, a legendary jazz pianist, composer, and one of the architects of the hard bop movement in jazz. I will also rebroadcast an interview with Yellow Jackets drummer Will Kennedy, and we'll hear some of the music of the Yellow Jackets, that in the second hour of the show. That's Shades of Jazz this Friday at 10 p.m.
This is Ozarks at Large. The Arkansas Department of Human Services Division of Child Protective Services operates a Child Maltreatment Central Registry. This year, the registry is undergoing revision. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has this report.
If you suspect a child is being physically, psychologically, emotionally, or sexually abused, exploited, neglected, or abandoned, you can call a special child maltreatment hotline set up by the Division of Children and Family Services at the Arkansas Department of Human Services. Kate Luck is spokesperson.
Anybody can call in that suspects abuse, and they can do so anonymously.
According to DHS, child maltreatment occurs when a family member or caretaker harms or allows harm to come to a child, or even fails to meet their basic needs. Maltreatment registries trace back to the Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act of 1974, passed by Congress, reauthorized 4 years later. It's the largest piece of federal legislation dealing with fair, ethical, and legal treatment of children in the United States. Last count, 375,000 people are listed on the Arkansas Maltreatment Registry, and more than 17,000 total maltreatment cases were investigated between 2011 and 2013. Again, Kate Luck with the Arkansas Department of Human Services.
So by far the most frequent alleged abuse that we have called in to the hotline, and the most frequent alleged abuse for people whose names are on the registry, is for neglect. So it's not the physical, it's the not the sexual, it's environmental neglect. And in 2011, we had 10,439 people on the child abuse registry for neglect. To compare, in 2013, we had 8,791. So a drop of about 1,700 there from 2011 to 2013. And the numbers are much lower for allegations of physical and sexual abuse. In 2011, there were 5,124 people on the list for physical abuse and 3,439 people on the list for sexual abuse. And those numbers have continued to go down from 2011 to 2013.
You don't have to be convicted of a crime to be on the list, but DHS does require true finding of child maltreatment to be listed. Federal laws provide standards and guidelines, but child abuse matters are administered and regulated by states, including mandatory reporting, responding to child abuse and neglect, and statutes of limitations for criminal and civil prosecution. Traditionally, mandatory reporting laws required only those who worked closely with children in their professions to alert police or the proper authorities as to suspected abuse.
Any child care worker or foster care worker, a coroner, daycare center workers, dentist, dental hygienist, domestic abuse advocate, domestic violence shelter employee or volunteer, any employee of DHS, any employee under contract working for DHS, any foster parents, judges, law enforcement officials, nurses, any medical personnel, mental health professional, osteopath, physician, prosecuting attorney, a resident intern, school counselor, social worker, surgeon, teacher, CASA staff member, juvenile intake or probation officer, clergy, any employee of a child advocacy or safety center, or an attorney ad litem in the course of his or her duties as an AAL.
AAL, a practitioner in a court of law who is legally qualified to prosecute and defend actions. But over the years, 20 states have enacted mandatory reporting sourcing, establishing laws requiring all citizens with knowledge or suspicion of abuse to report it to proper authorities.
Well, we always ask that if the child is in immediate danger to call 911 and get law enforcement involved as soon as possible. If the child is not in immediate danger and they want to anonymously report it, they can call our child abuse hotline. And it's 24/7, it's staffed, and it's completely anonymous. They won't even ask for your name. But the best chance of having that investigated is to have as much details as possible. In particular, we have to know where the child is located.
The maltreatment registry is distinct from the state's sex offender registry kept by the state police to track whereabouts of convicted sexual predators. But sex offenses are listed on the maltreatment registry. Such registries alert potential employers to possible trouble.
The purpose of the registry is so that any future employer or, a school can check to see if you have been accused and convicted of any sort of child maltreatment. So if you apply to be a teacher, they can run your name against this maltreatment registry to see, and it's a central record that shows if there has been child maltreatment in your past.
Over the last 3 years, 85,000 queries were made to the Arkansas Child Maltreatment Central Registry by school districts, recreational youth centers, daycare centers, and hospitals doing background on potential hires. Many individuals stay on the list permanently, but some do seek removal. And for those who wish to clear their names, new regulations are in play in Arkansas to facilitate the process.
You can appeal to be taken off, and it's before these proposed regulations, it was a little bit of a tougher process. And the average length of time that somebody could appeal, they went through the appeals process, was about 3.5 months that they could go through this process and try to get their names off of the list. But with these new regulations, it's designed to make an avenue and a pathway for people who either had their charges dropped or they don't think that they should be on the list or that they have been rehabilitated. And it makes it a little bit easier for somebody to try to get their name off the list. Because before this, these new regulations in the past 3 years, the majority of people who petitioned to have their names removed were unsuccessful. About 54% of people who tried to have their names removed were unsuccessful. So majority of folks were unable to do so. And, and even with these new proposed regulations, there are still offenses. There's about 18 offenses where you're not even allowed to appeal and petition, but those would be for convictions.
DHS spokesperson Kate Luck says removal requests are reviewed once a month by an assigned team of experts. Documentation must be provided proving the offender has undergone rehabilitation and is not subject to any pending criminal charges. Since 2011, 3,600 names have been removed from the registry. New delisting protocols have gone through public review, and the proposal will go up for a final review by the Arkansas Legislative Committee on Administrative Rules and Regulations on July 9th. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
The Child Maltreatment Hotline is 1-800-482-5964. To learn more, visit the Child Protective Services link at humanservices.arkansas.gov.
It is Friday, June 20th, 2014, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now is Becca Martin-Brown, Features Editor, Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Guess what tomorrow is?
Saturday.
What else?
The 21st.
Yes. Keep going.
Summer solstice.
Yes.
Do I got to keep going? I'm running out of things.
And a perfect day for a party.
It's always a perfect day for a party.
Well, that's true. But it's a perfect day for a party at Crystal Bridges, built around the solstice and the SkySpace installation, The Way of Color.
Oh, what are they doing this year?
Well, they have this lovely piece of art, which is based on light. And of course, the solstice is all about light and the changing of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also going to have a site-specific musical performance that was commissioned by the Walton Arts Center.
Okay.
And composed by Steve Parker of Soundspace. It's called The Way of Timber.
Okay.
Sound Timber, T-I-M-B-R-E.
Mm-hmm.
That uses wind instruments, didgeridoos. Should be really fun and a new way to experience the sky space. But before that, earlier in the evening, kids can make art with bubbles and sand with PVC pipes and musical instruments.
Oh.
And then there's a collaboration with Downtown Bentonville's Notes at Night series to bring the Bentonville band, the Airplanes, to play. And on top of all that, the Astronomical Society of Northwest Arkansas will set up telescopes for viewing the night sky.
That's lots of stuff.
It's all tomorrow, and it's all
free.
Yes.
Excellent.
I love it. So in the spirit of free and cheap stuff,
yes,
we have some other things to suggest.
Okay.
Tonight is Third Friday.
In Rogers.
Downtown Rogers. It's a taste of summer.
Well, that
so lots of
delicious.
Focus on food. Riverfront Blues Festival is this weekend at Harry E. Kelly Park in Fort Smith. The headliner tonight is Blind Boy Paxton, and tomorrow night, Lil Ed and the Blues Imperials. It's $10 a day, kids 12 and younger, free with an adult. It's pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
There's a concert in the park tonight at 7 in Blanchmore Park in downtown Van Buren. Once a River Was Still on the Hill is tonight at 7 at Ozark Folkways near Winslow.
Mm-hmm.
Also free. And Arts Life Theater presents Charlotte's Web.
Oh,
I love that play.
Classic.
7 today, 2 and 7 tomorrow, and 2 on Sunday on their stage on Sang Avenue in Fayetteville, and it's $6 to $8.
Okay.
Saturday we have Marty the Balloon Man, part of the summer reading program at 10:30 at the Bella Vista Public Library. I tried so hard to learn to make balloon animals.
I probably haven't tried hard enough. I need to have
Apparently
somebody show me.
Apparently I haven't either because I can't do it. This one I love. 1 o'clock at the Bentonville Public Library tomorrow. Doctor Who, a celebration of science and fiction.
I saw that. Is there any particular reason? Is it a special Doctor Who
not that
day
I'm aware
or
of.
Just. Okay.
Not that I'm aware of. You know, we're gearing up for the new Doctor.
Has it not happened yet?
No.
Okay.
No, the episodes haven't happened yet, I don't think.
Okay. I think I remember reading about the announcement, but I didn't know how close that was to the episodes.
No. I think they're supposed to start late summer, maybe.
Okay. That sounds right.
So you might as well plan ahead. Come dressed as your favorite doctor, villain, or companion.
Sure.
There's a birding basics class at 1 o'clock with Joe Neal at the Fayetteville Public Library.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday, my favorite place in the world, the Mountain Street Stage at the Fayetteville Public Library at 2 o'clock with Dave Baer. And Sidewalk Sunday with Trike Theater at the Walmart Museum in Bentonville from 2 to 5.
What is that?
They do anything you can do to play with kids. And since it's Trike, it'll
sure.
be theater related. They've had all sorts of, like, draw with chalk and
oh, okay.
just fun Sunday activities for kids at the Walmart Museum.
Very cool.
Oh, and by the way, if you missed it.
Yes.
Ron White was supposed to perform at the Walton Arts Center. 3 shows.
Was it 3?
Yes.
Okay.
Ron White is now doing 1 show.
At the Amp. It's
at 8 o'clock
moved.
Tomorrow. It's been moved. There's only 1 show. His wife, who is a singer and songwriter, will perform afterward, no additional cost. If you have tickets and you want refunds, you can get those up till showtime Saturday at the Amp box office.
Okay.
If you want new tickets, they are only available at the Amp box office. They're lawn seating and they're $28.
Okay.
So they tell me.
Okay. Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This week, there was a ribbon cutting in Fayetteville. Many people representing the city's Chamber of Commerce were there, and some of those oversized scissors were involved, too. This part sounded much like any other ribbon cutting.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
All right. All right. Okay.
This part, however, did not.
Mother said not to stray, still I suppose a small delay. I should have heeded her advice.
Jenna Meister is a member of this year's Opera in the Ozarks Ensemble, and Wednesday morning she sang a selection from Sondheim's Into the Woods, one of the operas on the schedule for Opera in the Ozarks' 64th season. Wednesday's ribbon cutting for the 64th season, which begins tonight at Inspiration Point near Eureka Springs, was a bit unusual. The Fayetteville ribbon cutting, held inside the Chamber's building, was part of a week-long series of ribbon cuttings in area cities. But Opera in the Ozarks is not your typical arts colony. Many of the best young opera singers converge every summer and become immersed in their art. This season, there will be 24 performances of 4 separate operas by 3 different composers. Aaron Caswin from Lubbock, Texas, also sang at Wednesday's ribbon cutting. This summer, he has roles singing both Sondheim and Puccini.
There's a lot of preparation that goes into preparing any one role. It starts out, you have to know the show backwards and forwards. I could tell you for each of the shows, cause and event, what happened in each story. I can tell you all about the different characters, particularly mine, and then for each of the operas. And then Puccini, that one's in Italian, so I not only have to know the story and all the characters and everything backwards and forwards, I have to know the translations word for word for my parts and for everyone else's parts too. So you're not just learning one thing, you're learning basically everything.
The 64th season is a delightful mix of the colony's past, present, and future. A special gala concert on July 13th at Arend Arts Center in Bentonville will be dedicated to longtime opera in the Ozarks general director Jim Swigert, who is now the director emeritus. Stephen Rushing is the successor to Jim Swigert as general director. He says both he and his predecessor have deep ties to opera in the Ozarks.
You know, Jim was here in the 1950s, and he was driving the bus from Inspiration Point Fine Arts Colony because there was no theater there. And he would take all the singers and the musicians, everybody else, down to the auditorium in downtown Eureka Springs, and that's where they produced their operas. And then years later, Jim was asked to come in as general director, and he and his wife have been running this place now for the last 25 years. And here, two years ago, Jim calls me up on the phone and says, I'm thinking about retiring. I'd like to get some advice from you about the future of this organization. So I drove up, and I got to hear actually one of my students sing that summer, a student that I recruited to the United States, an interesting little tie there. But after 2 days of being with Jim, I realized he didn't want advice. He actually wanted me.
Obviously, there has been change since that initial leap of faith in the summer of 1950 that led to the colony's existence. There is a performance space now at Inspiration Point. Professional lighting directors, costumers, set designers, and a full orchestra are now part of the season as well. What hasn't changed, according to Jenna Wehmeister, is the artist's incredible concentration.
The first couple of weeks are just, you're just learning music. You know your music when you get here, but gelling as an ensemble and memorizing your music, it's just so much, so many rehearsals. Mm-hmm. But it's really great. I've grown vocally from being here.
This year's collection of actors, musicians, and singers comes from more than 20 states, Puerto Rico, Argentina, Paraguay, China, and Armenia. Aaron Caswin says he heard about the opportunities at Inspiration Point from several fellow opera singers.
And when I say several, I mean like a lot who have gone through and done opera in the Ozarks and had, you know, wonderful things to say about it. And you know what? For the most part, everyone that I know that has done opera in the Ozarks is now off doing, you know, pretty legitimate things, like either in a career now or just about to start like a real career. So this is a really great like stepping point that I've heard from so many people.
To find evidence to back that up, you have to look no further than the July 13th gala performance in Bentonville. A featured performer that afternoon will be LaTanya Moore, an alumna of Opera in the Ozarks. She made her Metropolitan Opera debut in March 2012 on the Met's live radio broadcast. And two of this year's singers, Jenna and Aaron, agree that they, and any other singer, will know for sure by the end of the summer if opera is truly in their blood.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
With how many hours a day we're singing and working on our music, you have to love it in order to get through.
And also, there's no distractions.
Mm-hmm.
There's no distractions. We have, you know, our cabin, the dining hall, and the rehearsal space.
Mm-hmm.
The 64th Opera in the Ozark season opens tonight at Inspiration Point on Highway 62, 5 miles west of Eureka Springs. Performances continue there, and a few at Arend Arts Center in Bentonville, through July 18th. Tickets are $27, though there are half-price tickets for tonight and tomorrow night for residents of Carroll and Madison counties. You can see a performance schedule and learn about other events associated with this season at their website, opera.org.
Thank you so much, Zeke Taylor, for being on the Tin Roof Project here at Tales from the South.
I thought it was safe to have a little morning cocktail. I figured that the whiskey would calm my nerves while the coffee would keep me somewhat sober. Every so often, I ventured into the bathroom to look at myself in the mirror. admiring my new look, while at the same time regretting my action.
Tales from the South, Saturday afternoon at 3:30 on KUAF.
This is Ozarks at Large. Jamie Hall, a.k.a. Snake Eyes, a.k.a. Jumpsuit Jamie, is the frontman for the self-described Cajun Zydeco bug band Snake Eyes and the Bug Band. The local group will perform at 2 p.m. June 29th at the Fayetteville Public Library as part of the Mountain Street Stage Summer Music Series. Earlier this week, Jamie, wearing a maroon jumpsuit, came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio along with his bandmates Mark McGee, Ray Palmer, Mike Rickard, and Kevin Watkins. During our conversation, I asked Jamie to explain exactly what bug music is.
Well, bug music was my idea to, with our music, originally when I first started playing accordion, my intent was to make music that imitated or reminded you of a summer's night on the bayou. I grew up on a rice farm, and we didn't have much air conditioning. We more used a box fan, so we'd have the windows open at night, and there'd be this cacophony of bugs and frogs and whatnots and geegaws, and I wanted to recreate that with percussion instruments. Like they do in Brazilian samba. You know, earlier we were talking about the hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo and the to make bug sounds and have an accordion as the lead instrument.
You guys kind of mix the Cajun Zydeco sort of sound. Where did your love of that kind of music come from? Are any of you Cajun?
No.
Okay. And you said rice farm. Where?
Yeah, in Southeast Arkansas.
In Southeast Arkansas, okay.
I tell people I'm from L.A. That's Lower Arkansas.
Lower Arkansas. That's right. Okay.
But me and a buddy years ago, I guess it'd been about 30 years ago now, maybe longer, hitchhiked down to the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival and saw Cajun and Zydeco music and went nuts for it. I mean, from the first note. So when I got back to Fayetteville, I traded my guitar for an accordion, for a keyboard accordion, because Cajun accordions are about as plentiful as unicorns. And so I beat around on it. I was, as a 19-year-old, I was absolutely resolved that nobody was going to show me anything. I was going to teach myself. I was going to be like John Lee Hooker, Lightnin' Hopkins, heretofore my heroes on the electric guitar. And so I would play it for a week, put it down for a month. Play it for a month, put it down for two. But finally, painstakingly, got to where I could play a few tunes on them. But consequently, on the keyboard accordion, all the songs are my songs. I write all the songs that I play on the keyboard accordion. And then on the Cajun accordion, I play purely traditional Cajun music and Cajun French. But I've only been doing that for 5 or 6 years now.
What is it about that kind of music that, you know, really inspires you?
Well, you know, that's an excellent question. And I've wondered that myself. Why was I so smitten, so taken with that music so immediately? I mean, and it was a feeling like I was coming home. And I've queried a couple of Cajun musicians about that. Why would I love this music? I didn't grow up Cajun. I'm not Cajun. I'm not from the culture. I've never been exposed to it. And yet instantly I was adopted it. And then I told we had the Lost Bayou Ramblers that played up here at George's, Andre and Louis Michaud, brothers in the band. We were over at Arcega's eating a crepe, drinking some coffee, talking about it. And I said, what is it? And I mentioned that I grew up on a rice farm. And they said, that's it. He said, we've talked about this before, but between us, he said, it's those pumps, those relift pumps that pump the water out on the rice. He said they have a certain rhythm, a certain pounding rhythm. And he said, Cajun music follows it exactly. And maybe that's why I felt like I was coming home when I heard it.
Hmm.
I don't know. Good explanation as any, I reckon.
I think so. Well, the sound of music is heavily influenced by the instruments that you use. So I want to ask a little bit about the instruments. I understand an accordion and an upright bass. And Ray, you have a fiddle.
Yeah.
But when I've talked to you before, it's a very different style of music with the old 78s, kind of that classic folk music. So do you have to approach this instrument differently in this band?
No, it's the same instrument. It's just a matter of trying to fit it into an ensemble with different instruments. You know, there's no banjos or anything. It's a little bit different playing with an accordion, but it's a similar approach.
Well, don't you play a lot more doubles in Cajun than you do in old time?
Yeah.
What are doubles? I don't know what that means.
Well, you play a lot more double stops, and there's a lot more. I'm more a part of the rhythm section.
Mm-hmm.
you know, you take solos in Cajun music, but a lot of the time, you know, you're playing for a dance. People don't exactly want to listen to the music. They're just kind of, they need something to dance to. And so the, a lot of the times we're kind of filling the, we're making noise for people to dance to. Mm-hmm. And so.
It's the groove.
Yeah.
Thank God, because if they were just listening, they'd notice all the mistakes. Do you know what a double stop is?
I don't.
That's hitting two strings at one time.
Okay. Okay. There we go. And Mr. Rickard, you brought in an instrument that you said you don't normally play because we had talked about doing acoustic. What is it?
That's a resonator guitar. Before the electric guitar was invented, the arms race in guitars was to try to get them louder. Mm-hmm. And that's why they eventually invented the electric guitar, because a normal acoustic guitar really can't compete with a band full of saxophones and trombones and so on and so forth. So before the electric guitar technology existed, that was an early attempt to make the loudest guitar known to man. And technologically speaking, it should be an obsolete dinosaur, mm-hmm. except for the fact that they sound really cool. And if you're going for a certain 1930s kind of sound, it does it better than anything, because it was state of the art at the time. So it's kind of a brand new instrument that sounds instantly old. And the reason I brought that is, I normally play electric guitar with an amplifier cranked up with this band because we're pretty loud ordinarily. But when we play unplugged, a normal guitar would get lost. You wouldn't even notice I was playing. But that guitar can compete with the volume of accordions and fiddles. And
okay. And Mark, you normally play washboard?
It's on the waltzes I'll do a little triangle, or sometimes if I feel relaxed enough, you know, when Ray and Mike are doing their guitars, their solos back and forth, trading off during the waltzes, you know, I'll tend to bring my harmonica and play, because that's harmonica, as Jamie is telling me, that's it's an integral part of the Cajun music itself, so I don't feel very bad since I've got like 200 harps and I can use one of a few.
But he's good, he's good on the harmonica.
A lot of it's in my key, in the key of C, so I got plenty of C's. That's usually the universal one. But playing the rubboard, it's a blast.
You called it a rubboard. I guess I've always called it a washboard. Is there a difference?
Well, the original name is
Frotois. That's the official name.
But what happened was, I think it was Clifton Chenier, who's the legendary king of Zydeco, he took a piece of sheet metal to a guy, I guess at a machine shop or on a job, the machine shop on a job he was working, and wanted him to make something like a washboard. But a washboard is something that you actually wash clothes with. You've seen them in that wooden frame, and they've got that little metal ridge dealy bopper. Well, this whole thing, it's a vest that's completely the metal. It's stainless steel. And it's got probably three times the surface area of the biggest washboard you've ever seen, and that's all it is. And so it fits on your body, and it kind of moves with you. And I'll tell you, it's something to see when Mark is really getting with it. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody looking at anybody else.
Yeah, the crowd loves him. You see people in the crowd looking at him and pointing and going.
Right. I mean, he ain't got no sense. He ain't much to look at. But then when he gets that rub board, people can't take their eyes off of it.
Yeah. Well, I love sharing it with kids.
Sure.
You know, I mean, for me to put it on them and put spoons behind them, they really don't know what they think, like they're Demetrius and the Gladiator. You know?
Yeah.
They got the shield on, like, oh, you know, that's the way they have to learn to not be shy.
Well, you left the rub board at home this evening, but before we started recording, you called and then ran down over to
Coast Sound Warehouse, and I was there earlier, and I know they kept a lot of musical instruments, and I asked him, "So you got a cabasa or anything?" And he said, "Well, I got this gourd thing. It's got beads on it." And I said, "Well, I'll be there in a few minutes." So I drove up there, and I said, "I'm gonna borrow it for about an hour."
Anything you'll get the same sound out of that? Have you tried that before?
No, I know it'd wake up a bunch of sleeping dogs. I know.
Yeah, we'll run all the rats out of the building.
I think it'll be fine.
Well, I look forward to hearing that in a bit. Yeah. Now.
Yeah, we're sort of anxious about it ourselves.
I think it'll be fun. Now, Jamie, the band formed somewhere around 2005. Is that correct?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
No, sometimes I find myself in the kitchen at home and wondering what I'm doing there. So
I started playing
trying to remember 5 minutes. So
yeah. We first started met and played together at Peace and Justice Center in 93.
Oh, 93.
Was it 93?
I moved to Fayetteville in 94, and Mark was my neighbor. Mm-hmm. And I had been playing in bands in Little Rock when I lived there, and I didn't know anybody to play with. And
that's right.
Mark said, well, we need a guitar player. Why don't you try it? So I've been playing with Jamie since 94.
Okay.
Did take a break and moved away for a few years. But we can,
well, that's 20
we
years.
Can say we've been playing together for 20 years. There was a five-year hiatus in there where we didn't play together because I moved out of state.
Well, but sure. Too.
Yeah. But it's simpler to say we've been playing together since 94.
There's only one accordion guy in town, and that was you.
Yeah, I'm the best accordion player on my block. I'll have you know.
But Kevin's the new guy in the band. And
How'd you get in this band, Kevin?
Well, there is a wonderful thing that happens every other Tuesday night at Bear's Place, mm-hmm. where they play traditional Cajun music, and you would be amazed at the musicianship. They just kind of have a Cajun jam. Kind of invite people to come in and play. Matter of fact, Keith Grimwood from Trout Fishing in America, the bass player, is playing Cajun fiddle every other Tuesday night up at Bear's Place. And never played upright bass. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, Keith, can I try out your bass? And so I just started playing, and then something wonderful happened.
Well, Kevin passed the personality test, too. We all love Kevin. And it keeps a good bass line.
Yep.
Plays good. Yeah. Doing better every day.
The next thing I want to know is Snake Eyes and the Bug Band. Where does that name come from?
Well, the Bug Band we already talked about, right?
Sure.
With the Bug Sound.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a friend of mine noticed an unfortunate habit of mine years ago. When I'm really getting into something, my eyes roll back in my head. You know, like a snake does when it strikes. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple of girlfriends horrified that noticed that same thing. Huh. So yeah, it's funky, it's okay. Weird. I know, but thank God I'm not aware of it.
Not aware of it. Just name the band.
It fits. That's all right.
Yeah, Snake Eyes and the Bug Band.
Got it. Okay. Well, Jumpsuit Jamie and your cohorts, would you guys like to play some music for us?
Why, sure enough.
Certainly. You bet.
So let's see. We'll do a traditional Cajun number.
Okay.
We'll do a two-step.
All right, well, I guess we'll play La Flamme d'Enfer, which translates to The Flames of Hades.
That was Jamie Hall, Mark McGee, Ray Palmer, Mike Rickard, and Kevin Watkins, who together make up the group Snake Eyes and the Bug Band. They will perform a free concert at 2 p.m. Sunday, June 29th at the Fayetteville Public Library. More information about the band is available at snakeeyesandthebugband.com. And if you'd like to find out more about the nickname Jumpsuit Jamie, as well as why the band's frontman enjoys giving dance lessons, tune into Weekend Ozarks at Large next Sunday, that's June 29th, to hear more from this conversation as well as another performance.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Alma.
Blues recording artist Robert Cray and the Robert Cray Band will be in concert August 30th at the Auditorium in Eureka Springs. Seating is limited. Tickets go on sale this Friday at the CAPC office in downtown Eureka Springs or online at theaud.org.
Yesterday, Christina and I were here, and we told you that you had a chance to win a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh. What are you giving away?
Two sets of winners will each receive 4 ticket vouchers to a future Naturals game.
Okay.
You exchange those at Will Call Window. 4 passes to any Malco movie theater in the area. And 2 tickets to any performance of your choosing for this year's Opera in the Ozarks season.
Starts today.
It does. We'll tell you who to call. You'll call them, tell them, look over the schedule and tell them which one you want.
Yeah.
Puccini, Mozart, Sondheim. Right.
Plenty of options between now and the end of their season. It's a short season done in, you know, in July, but there are plenty of performances.
I don't fathom how they do it. I do not understand how they do it.
I, you know, paid him a visit last year and did a story on it, and it was just very impressive.
Very.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have a couple of winners.
We do. Congratulations to Christy Burkert.
Mm-hmm.
And Susan K. Tagiku, I apologize because I probably just butchered that.
Well, Christy and Susan, we will send you an email about how you can, we'll mail you the vouchers for baseball and the passes for movies, and we'll tell you what to do to make sure you can get into the Opera of the Ozarks performance of your choice.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I will be at the Town Center in Fayetteville tonight as the MC for Summer Salsa for Children's House.
Always a fun event.
7 to 11. Ultra Suede will be the band.
Excellent.
I think this is the first time that Ultra Suede and I, believe it or not, have been on the same bill.
Seriously?
For a fundraiser. I think so.
Okay.
Hard to believe.
Well, about time, I guess.
Yeah, they've been around 20 years.
They have.
You have 10 seconds to tell me everything you're doing this weekend.
I have no plans.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh. I'm leaving it open.
Okay,
you
wow.
Are, wow.
Has that
Kyle,
ever?
You being quiet? No, that's never happened.
Thanks for listening.